Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this week's episode will be launching exclusively on Disney Plus at launch. And with me, I have...
Technology will be the second coming, because sometimes it'll break shit that you didn't expect to break. What the fuck, guys?
And...
Cut up next is Mr. Boogity. That's an actual... This movie called Mr. Boogity.
Starring Bud Flippin' Bundy. No joke, David Faustino's in it.
We live in a very strange reality. Seriously, what even is that thread? Like, it literally looks like the kind of movies that you only remember because you had to settle a bar bet about whether or not it actually existed. Yeah. And I've watched some of those. Seriously, what
Disney
what
the telemovies.
I remember some of those, at least these animated ones. And to think, if this is how Disney Plus is going to be, I wonder how it's going to be when HBO Max launch, or when Peacock launch, or hell, even BET got their own streaming service for some reason.
It's basically just Tyler Perry movies 24/7. Oh, I'm sorry, Jerome.
Well, that and Baby Boy, again. That Baby Boy, because they always play that fucking movie all the time.
The point is, the streams, they are coming, and yeah, have fun with all the piracy that's going to run rampant because nobody's shelling out for all that shit. Even if it is technically cheaper than a cable package all combined. meet the new boss, same as the old boss. But anyway, this week, episode 149. How's everything been going with you guys lately?
Busy. Very, 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 very busy. I've had one day off of work in the last week and a half because of stuff getting busy, which is always fun, especially when you get called in to work on your day off. The day after, you go to do stuff like pay for a new set of front tires on your car. $200 down the drain. God damn it.
Oh.
Yeah, but I managed to enjoy the rest of that day by going to see, as I mentioned last time, plug, Metallica S&M 2 in theaters. I wish the crowd in the theater was a little more lively. And that's all I have to say. The rest of my week has just been work, because people be busy. Very busy. And if I sounded tired in the last couple shows, that's because... I've been very tired. I don't get enough sleep. I have problems.
I don't think any of us get enough sleep. But that's neither here nor there. None of us are sleep therapists. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, it's pretty much the same as in work and writing. And also noticed that finally the weather is not that hot. It's not burning, blistering hot. It's more of what... It's more of most of what you see around London. Mostly cloudy and kind of foggy. But you know what? Fuck, I'll take this weather. At least it's a different set. At least I'm not having a fan on every time. But yeah, things have been quite the usual around here.
Yeah, and as for me, I went to a friend's party, but that was really about it. Also had to take my car in for some long overdue maintenance. There's $270 down the drain.
Damn.
Well, thank God for the magic of financial aid refunds and the government thinking I can be trusted with a hefty amount of money. Maybe one day they'll learn their mistake, but that mistake is not this semester.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I had that happen once. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
Anyway, that's basically about it for all of that, so now we move on to the usual business, starting with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and, you know, have some opinions on these songs as well. Maybe you could chime in. Anyway, let's start right up at the top here. It looks like we got a new Lucy track here from Machine Head. It's called Do or Die, and apparently it's part of some new release strategy that they're trying to work out, where they release, like, new songs on... I'm guessing like a monthly basis or so, you know, kind of keep a steady stream of tracks going that eventually end up on an LP or something. And I didn't listen to Catharsis, so I don't really know where this compares to that. But I mean, to a certain extent, it's got some decent thrashy energy that drives a lot of it. Pretty hefty grooves in a lot of the track, especially that back half with the dueling solos and shit. I mean, like, I didn't listen to Catharsis. I only heard that one single, which was whatever. But, like, I mean, I don't completely hate it. It's not the worst thing I ever heard. Though maybe it's a tiny bit cringy when Rob Flynn's screaming, like, die, motherfucker, die over and again. Because, you know, you're kind of getting, like, mild dope flashbacks. But whatever. But it's whatever, you know, Rob Flynn does what Rob Flynn does, and, you know, he's probably, you know, gotten a little bit, you know, better at dealing with the criticism surrounding, you know, the style that Machine Head has been going for recently. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go take a sip of water and check Twitter.com.
Well, I'll just say that I like the tightness to it. The vocal approach feels more reminiscent of mid-period nu metal. Again, the back half of the song is the better half with those fantastic solo harmonies. But I just don't want to be reminded of that terrible dope song. Why do you do this to me, Rob Flynn? I thought we all agreed that song was terrible.
Well, I mean, if you want, we could read the statement word for word. But I don't think anyone actually wants that.
No. No.
We'll just leave it at that. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So, as we've mentioned before, there is in fact a new Homeboy Sandman album that's actually dropping this Friday. It's called Dusty, and we got another single from the album, you know, one last one to look at here, called Lookout. And it's got some pretty interesting names on this one. Mark, care to take it away?
Yes. If it's the super something that you would expect from now, but, well, you did expect, but yeah, two very familiar names. Curly Chris and Your Old Droog on this song. And what was that? They do on this regular, very all kilter beat with this, you know, with the percussion drum with this sound, like, you know, like something out of a 70s psychedelic rock song, like something like that, which I kind of got that vibe from the production and from the beat, which, all right, it's pretty good. And of course, all the rappers do sound good on this. With, you know, with Homeboy Sandman got lyrics like, anytime I lost, you count, there's been a miscount. Anytime I floss, you could probably get a discount. For Curly Chris, they let me longer than 2003 T's, blacker than the color kids' knees. Rocket, I'm out like I'm gonna crush but the cheese. And yo, Drew, you know who it is, Grammy Award winner in the form for foreign. Listen to Foreigner. Okay, wow. In a foreign, with a foreign, listen, a foreigner. Okay, right. And yes. I'm looking at the Steel Gun page because look at my Genius. It says missing lyrics. I can't look up this shit on Genius. I mean, I watched the, but yeah. This song is, you know, pretty decent. So, something like if you do Homeboy Sandman from the other joint he released, like, yeah, this is pretty, okay, pretty dope. And of course you got some vice versa from, you know, from me from our two features, which, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, look forward to the rest of the record in a few days. But anyway, time to move on to the next track here, and looks like it's another Lucy, again from Mr. King Push. This one apparently being a rap remix of the theme music to an HBO show called Succession, which I have no idea what it's about. Trust me, like, I don't... Who's even really paying to HBO anymore outside of, I don't know, Barry? Wait, is Barry even HBO? I think that's Showtime.
Yeah. I know a few people. They might be able to help you with that.
Yeah. But, so we have a remix of that show's theme called Puppets. Apparently, the theme music is composed by Nicholas Britell, also known as the composer on the film Moonlight. And, you know, it's about what you would expect. You know, a hip-hop reworking of a very dramatic kind of a prestige peak TV television show intro. The lyrics are about what you would expect. You know, a lot of it sounds like I'm sounding to tie into, if I can fucking talk tonight, the themes of the show, like, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just a puppet here. If you want to place blame, then look to the puppeteer. And then just rapping a bunch of random nouns that, again, I assume relate to the themes of the show. It sounds alright. I assume it would be better if I had more context for whatever this program was, but, you know, always nice to hear some push.
Yeah, well, I don't know shit about this show at all. Like the thing that pushed it into it, sounds pretty dope. Like, if somehow I would have heard this. If I was in a show and I pictured that theme in that, it would be pretty good. It'd be pretty dope, pretty cool. And I'm saying dope a lot, but yeah, but this is good.
Anyway, time to move on to the next track here. So we're still about a couple weeks away from Pitfalls, the upcoming new album from prog rockers Leprous, and we have a new track here called Distant Bells. And it seems like some people might be in a bit of a tizzy because, so far, it seems like it's a radically different shift up from their past couple of albums. I mean, to be fair, the band did promise that it would be a different kind of album, so I don't know what you were expecting, but anyway. So, this one opens. The first half of it is very. I can only really describe it as kind of like a quiet night at like a small private lounge to it. There's this delicate piano melody, this kind of ominous ticking clock working in the background. Einar's, you know, again, as usual, excellent vocal performances laid over top in a very, you know, soothing but also kind of ominous manner. The guitar is kind of coming at around 2 minutes, but they're swelling in and out in a very hazy fashion. Shit, half the song goes by before the full band even enters, and shit, there's a lot of, like, dramatic string arrangements to factor in as well. When the drums do come in, it's this more, like, kind of skittering hi-hat rhythm that honestly kind of sounds like this title track from Deftones' Gore album. And then it eventually does swell all the way into this very grandiose blowout at the last 2 minutes that feels more of like, you know, the dramatic spectacle you would expect from Leprous' more intense moments. But goddamn, that way it just, like, builds from delicate to huge. I don't get what the people who are tripping, who are saying, like, this is, oh man, this sucks, this ain't Leprous, fuck you, this shit sounds amazing, eat my dick.
Okay. I'll just say that this band is leaving me, for the most part, a bit confused as to what they're trying to go for. Overall, the work they're doing is a definite good, but it just leaves me trying to reach for a conclusion that I just can't see yet. Maybe it'll work better in a much larger context of the full album, so maybe that's why I'm trying to... Maybe that's why I'm having such a problem trying to figure out the what's and the whys of all of this. Give me a little bit more time when the album comes out, and maybe then I'll be able to figure it out.
We shall see. Anyway, time to move on from that to our next track here. We got another single courtesy of Phantogram from their still yet untitled and undated new album. It's a track called In a Spiral, and again, this is very much that weird sort of intermixing of like synth pop and kind of sort of modern hip-hop. Like, it's got this kind of spaghetti western guitar motif underlying that, again, stereotypical spaghetti western, like, kind of wailing, all coated in, like, those poppy synthetic effects, this kind of catchy stomp clap sort of vibe going on, and, in fact, you know what it reminds me of? It sounds like a synth-pop version of that DJ Shadow song, Nobody Speak. It's pretty catchy. I'll give it that much. I dig.
Yeah, we'll get to him later. Yeah, wink, wink. But yeah, this song, like this new Phantogram song, it does got that, you know, mix of, you know, that synth pop, and I want to say more like Attribute game music, like something I would hear if, let's say, you're playing some very stealthy Attribute game, or maybe, I want to say you hit some Grand Theft Auto game, which I just picture that shit, like, maybe play it on, like, one of their radio, like, one of the radio stations or something like that.
Yep, that sounds about right. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here, so, who wants some deathcore, kids? Well, too bad. So, yeah, there's a new Despised Icon project coming November 15th called Purgatory. We have a single here called Snake in the Grass, and, I mean, it opens about how you would expect. It's very slow, grooving, kind of to the point of monotonous. Bass kind of fills out a lot of the chugs. The vocals do the bree-bree. The drums have blasty parts here and there. There's, you know, the blast segueing in and out of the grooves. There's, it's whatever. I mean, you've heard one deathcore band, you've heard them all, and I mean, it's not the worst I've heard. You know, it's moderately catchy at least, but it's just a take or leave sort of thing.
Yeah, pig squeals. That's all I've got. That's all this gives me to work with. Just that kind of stuff.
Which in actuality is the vocalist telling you about their favorite kind of cheese. Brie. I thought it was funny. What, you want me to make a shredded wheat joke? It's 2019, people. Come on, give it the times. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. Another November 15th release, although this one at least will be more interesting and exciting. So yeah, as mentioned before, DJ Shadow dropping a new double album project, Our Pathetic Age. We previously got a single that was from the first half, which is mainly consisting of like his instrumentals and production and stuff. And now we're getting one from the second half, which of course features all the collaborators and whatnot. This one being a track called Urgent, Important, Please Read, featuring guest verses from Rockwell Knuckles, Tef Poe, and Damon. And unfortunately, Genius did not have the lyrics for this either. Which means I'm not really sure what I can add to it other than, yeah, I mean, everyone does cool. It kind of bumps.
Rockwell Knuckles. What's it, the obvious? It sounded like what Knuckles' full name would be on Sonic. Rockwell Knuckles. but yeah, I ain't got much to say here. So like this song sounds pretty cool. Like I could bump to this. Okay, like I had to bump to this. Like it does got that cool instrumental. Like at the rapping end, it's like okay, the instrumental sounds pretty good. I was digging this. Like this. I want to say I like it not as much as the other one that we talked about then, but yeah, this one's still pretty cool too.
Yeah, now to move on to something, our last song here that absolutely does not bump. Yeah, we got another Green Day track here. February 7th, Father of All, an album that, according to rumor, may very well be the Green Day equivalent of Frank Ocean's Endless. Please tell us that's the case. And there's something better looming over the horizon, because if that turns out to be false, and we're getting shafted with this, dear fucking Lord, I don't even know what we're going to do at this point. The song is called Fire Ready Aim. Get it? It's out of order. Just like this fucking song is out of order, because, oh boy, you like more cheesy stomp claps that aren't even the fun kind, like in that Phantogram track, and, you know, general guitar work and annoying vocal shit that sounds like a really shitty take on Queens of the Stone Age. In fact, it sounds like Queens of the Stone Age vomiting Portugal the Man. I legit hate this. What the fuck? Please tell us that this is just a joke or something. That this is just to get out of a contract. Come on, help me out here.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was teased as being a tie-in song for, of all things, hockey coverage on NBC. Because, of course, they need a hype song, and this is definitely not it. They're just cosplaying as Portugal the Man. At least it's only 2 minutes long. So, you know, going to be a short record. So, yeah, I'm still crossing my fingers that magnum opus of the Inglorious Kind, which is supposed to be the rumored actual album that they're actually working on, is going to happen because, oh my god, I cannot live with myself if this is actually legitimate and not a troll and not something they're doing just to fulfill contractual obligations. Please, Billy Joe, please come to your senses. Please tell us that the true album is coming and it's not this.
All we can do is wait. And seriously, hire a fucking adult to write your YouTube descriptions. Seriously, what the fuck? Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news here and there. So stay tuned. And we're back. So first, let's start off with a bit of movie news. Now, I don't know if you've been to the movies lately and maybe seen this trailer in front of some movies, but there's an upcoming film November 27th called Queen and Slim. A, you know, drama sort of thriller starring Daniel Kaluuya and Jodie Turner-Smith as a young couple fleeing the authorities after Kaluuya shoots and kills a police officer. Now, we're bringing this up here because there are some, of course, music tie-ins to discuss here. First off, the police officer that gets shot is apparently played by Sturgill Simpson. I guess Kaluuya wasn't a fan of Sound and Fury.
Okay.
apparently, the film also features Flea as a member of the cast. Lord knows what role it is, probably secondary. But also, there are, as most movies that have, you know, tie-in soundtracks. And there are some interesting names listed up here. It's going to feature some previously released tracks from artists like Blood Orange, who's also credited as the film's composer. Bilal Mike Jones.
Who?
I don't know. I think he got his ass kicked by Paul Wall in Celebrity Deathmatch. That's how that match went down. Anyway, Roy Ayers and some others. And then, of course, it's going to feature some new tracks from artists such as Lil Baby, Megan Thee Stallion, Six Slack, Vince Staples, and I am reading this here correctly, Miss Lauryn Hill!
Yeah!
Someone seems enthusiastic.
Okay.
Well, yes.
So, we've had the Pusha T collab. We have this new song here. This means something. I don't know what, but it means something. What does it
Yes.
mean?
I don't know. But, but I also want to read this in the soundtrack where director Mila Masuchia. I cannot pronounce it.
Melina Matsukas?
Yes. In case you heard them before, she's the music video for Formation, the one from, you know, from Beyonce.
Ah.
And of course, one of the writers being Lena Waif, who was a pretty good writer in her own name, which she was on that Netflix show Master of None. They had the Facebook episode, which I actually like, even though me going back to it would be kind of jarring now, or at least not as comfortable. But yeah, that's a good episode despite. Yeah, but anyway, on a press release, the director says, "I want a soundtrack for Queen Slim to showcase the historical revolution of black music, from roots in blues and soul to modern bounce, R&B, and hip-hop. Much like we succeeded in the 90s, we partnered with Motown, yes, Motown, because of the legacy within black music. I'm honored to work with such Ethiopia and cannot wait, honestly, to hear what each other has created." So yeah, it seems pretty hype. I'm actually looking forward to that movie too to see how that goes.
Remember,
the soundtrack too.
The film comes out November 27th. The soundtrack drops November 15th via Motown.
Yeah, and about a Pitchfork, when you say Lauryn has a new song, you didn't really show a new song. It just says. Had a new song coming. You didn't really show the new song. You did see, in the army, you see a song, not her, but it's from Tiana Major 9 and Earth Gang. You know, Earth Gang being the duo from Dreamville, which people say they compare them to Outkast, which, okay, I kind of don't see it. I mean, they're weird enough, but okay. But yeah, that song, it's just sort of that song, the song's all right. But yeah. But yeah, the movie. Yeah, look forward to the soundtrack or see what's the listen going to be. I want to. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, Pitchfork has to get their click somehow. After all, they did put out the biggest listicle in history of 200 definitive decade songs.
Wait, I thought that was
songs
albums.
Of the decade.
Or did they do both? I'm remembering.
Knowing Pitchfork, they probably did, and it was probably wrong. Yeah.
You know, the one that only had 3 metal albums on it, and for some reason that. Fucking Death Heaven album. But anyway, let's move on from Pitchfork.
Yeah, it was best songs.
Okay, best songs. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that to Alex once again, because we've been discussing a lot of Metallica lately, and there is even more Metallica to discuss. The gift that keeps on giving for this podcast.
Yes. So yeah, Metallica has been kind of busy in the last couple of weeks, both with James Hetfield unfortunately headed back into rehab to get himself cleaned up. Although, early progress from Lars says that he's doing what he needs to do to get some help. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we had the S&M 2 concert in theaters all over the world last week. And some of the guys in the band even made some guest appearances at some shows. Kirk Hammett appearing on stage with UFO, and Lars Ulrich appearing on stage at Austin City Limits with Mumford & Sons. Why? Because, you know, they have lives outside of their bands, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. But something came up last week that got some people wondering what it was going to be. A mysterious website came up, MetallicaXX.com. And it had a countdown clock to it, along with some cryptic messages posted on the social accounts for some festivals. What could it be? And, well, now we know. Dandy Wimmer Presents is going to be putting as their two-day headliners for their big five rock festivals next year here in the U.S., Metallica will be performing two sets at the following festivals: Aftershock, Louder Than Life, Sonic Temple, Welcome to Rockville, and Epicenter next year.
That's a lot.
Yeah, Aftershock next October in Sacramento, California. Louder Than Life in Louisville, Kentucky in September. Sonic Temple in Columbus, Ohio, weekend of May 15th. Welcome to Rockville, now in Daytona, weekend of May 8th. And Epicenter, weekend of May 1st, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So clearly you're going to go to the one in Daytona, right? Because it's closer to you.
Well, I mean, I would, but unfortunately there's a convention that weekend. And conventions are too much fun, I'm a fucking dork, and plus, why would I pass up an opportunity to swing by my pal? Plus, I refuse to step foot in Daytona on principle. They know what they did.
Oh, was there some kind of noodle incident that happened?
Nothing that you can't prove in a court of law.
Yeah, so we're going to have to plan this out, because, well, passes are already on sale. Unfortunately, I don't have $200 on me right now. I may later, but not right now. But yeah, some planning will have to be done, because they're going to be performing unique set lists for each of their performances. So you're going to get 10 different Metallica shows across five festivals for two of those 3 days of the weekends. Pretty cool stuff. And I do believe this is the first time Metallica's done any kind of big time US festival since Bonnaroo 2008. So it's been a while.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. That was when I was ending middle school.
We're old.
Yes.
Yes, that's the theme here.
Yeah, we're all getting old.
But anyway, one last bit of news to talk about here. So, who's ready for the consumer capitalist hellscape that is Black Friday? Am I right?
Yep. Ready to get stomped.
Gotta get a new TV.
Even if it means bumping Karen into the side of a freaking shopping cart. But then again, it's Karen. Who cares? What are you gonna do?
Speak to the manager?
The manager's trying to calm all of us down. And what if the manager is named Karen too, huh? What are you gonna do then?
Everybody named Karen. How many people named Karen in this damn store?
The world may never know. But, of course, since it's Black Friday, that means lots of deals and shit everywhere, including friggin' Black Friday doing its other day of the year, the one nobody gives a shit about because it's not the record store day. So, let's just... I mean, honestly, it's like less than 200 items here. Not much to sort through, because I honestly didn't give a shit about, like, In fact, let me check my little checklist here. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Literally only 9 things I found of interest in a list of about 100. Let me just double check that number. 178. Yes. So, in fact, let's do a quick bit of math here. So, 9 divided by 178. Multiply that by 100. Yeah, I give a shit about 5.06% of this list.
Yeah, this is not the best Record Store Day list we've seen from the people responsible for this. There are a few couple of interesting ones here, so why don't we just mention a couple here?
I'll just run down the ones I had, and then you can chime in with whatever I missed. So the only one that I found interesting from the... And I'm doing this in order of how these releases are classified. So, from Record Store Day, Limited Run, Regional Focus, the only thing I found interesting was Toon Yards, their soundtrack to the Boots Riley film Sorry to Bother You, coming on an LP limited to 1,000 copies.
Okay.
That's it for that portion. So, moving on to the Record Store Day exclusive materials, there's a 12-inch picture disc of Dio's Rainbow in the Dark, live, 2,500 copies. Geddy Lee, his solo album, My Favorite Headache. I noticed the typo on your website. What the heck is a heckache? With a C instead of a D. What the fuck? Anyway, yeah, that's an LP, 2,500 copies. J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hills Drive EP, 12-inch picture disc, 3,000 copies. Joe Satriani, Surfing with the Alien, a double LP, 3,500 copies. Pearl Jam, MTV Unplugged, March 16th, 1992, LP, 13,000 copies. So you don't have to worry about shortages of that anytime soon. And probably the only thing I would be inclined to unironically buy from this list, Slipknot, All Out Life / Unsainted on a 7-inch vinyl,
yes.
5,000 copies.
That is very nice, yeah.
And then from the RSD first releases, there's Lizzo's Coconut Oil EP, 12-inch vinyl, 5,500 copies, and apparently it actually smells like coconuts. There's, of course, I forgot about this one. Tenacious D, Blue Series, Don't Blow It Cage, their collaborative track with Jack White.
Oh, yeah, black and white. Yeah.
7-inch vinyl, no copy limit specified. There were a handful of movie soundtracks here and there. Let me just double check. Jim Henson's Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Matrix Reloaded, music from and inspired by the motion picture soundtrack. That's a 3x LP, 1,500 copies. Of course, Matrix Revolutions, music for the motion picture, double LP, 1,500 copies. Saturday Morning Cartoon's Greatest Hits. That's apparently a thing happening. There's the soundtrack to the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which, if I recall correctly, I believe is receiving a limited Fathom Events run this week.
Yeah.
That we probably might have already missed it by the time this episode goes up.
And I don't know why they're doing that. Ugh.
Such is how it works. But, And then... I mean, shit, that's basically about it. I don't give a shit about anything else.
All right. Well, I got a few that I can chime in with here. Let's see what we got here. We have Ace Frehley with Frehley's Comet Live. It's basically just 6 tracks. It's something, all right. Aretha Franklin, The Atlantic Singles Collection, 1968. Good for those of you who like your R&B. Arcade Fire has Neighborhood Number 1, Tunnels. It's a 7-inch dual single. Bad Company, Live at Red Rocks, double LP live release. That's pretty cool. Masters of the Universe, the soundtrack by Bill Conti. Heck yeah, that's some dank dangus right there.
Yeet, the skeet.
We have Nuns and Roaches. A 6-track EP from Black Label Society from 1999. That's certainly something. Yep. Cardi B, Gangsta Bitch Music Volume 1. What the hell ever. What else we got here? Dave Matthews Band, Live at the Hollywood Bowl. That's pretty cool, I guess. DMX with the Smokeout Festival presents. That was a thing that happened. Amazing. Yeah. Let's see. Ooh. Everybody's favorite band, Insane Clown Posse, Flip the Rat.
Yeah, get the Faygo, dudes.
That was certainly a wild time. Let's see. We have a 12-inch picture disc from Jimi Hendrix, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. That certainly is something, all right. Holiday music from Jimi Hendrix. We have Macro, the album from Ginger, a band I can never get into.
Oh, yeah. They've been on the rise lately, it seems.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's a 12-inch double single of that one Katy Perry track nobody listened to.
Which one? You're going to have to be more precise.
Small Talk, the song that just dropped off the charts, like, within 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's something to be talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were responsible for it. what else we got here? We have a Stillmatic from Nas. That's cool, I guess. Those of you who like Nas. Oh, forgot there was something I missed here. The Electric Age from Overkill. Awesome Jersey thrash.
Ah.
Yeah, that's always fun. Let's see what else we have here. There was something else I saw. Where? Here it is. 1459 from Sugar Ray. What a fantastic, dank 1999 album that is.
Why?
Because reasons, that's why. Just like we have Sid Vicious with Sid Lives. Who the flippin' hell cares? God dang.
Apparently sorry.
Go ahead.
Apparently there's something called Lullaby Renditions of Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, there are lullaby renditions of everything.
Okay.
What else we have? Don't Let's Start from They Might Be Giants. It's an EP. It's a thing. Oh, I totally forgot about this. 7-inch double single from Thomas Dolby. Science! She Blinded Me with Science. One of the best songs ever. Ever. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, we also have a new LP release of My Dear Melancholy from The Weeknd.
Joy.
Yeah, that was a thing that I kind of thought was okay. So, yeah. Of course, the only Christmas album we need. A Very Twisted Christmas from Twisted.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, it's not an album. It's just the 7-inch double single. Oh, well. Let's see. Oh, yes, we have soundtracks from the other Matrix movies that nobody liked.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh. Well, I just want to reaffirm nobody liked those movies.
Indeed.
They sucked. And, is there anything else? Not really. We're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here. This is not the best looking list.
Oh, I did want to mention something real quick, though. Since I have it pulled up here, I want to just bring up the track list for that Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits thing. Because it is, a cover album of songs from, soundtracks and shit. So, let's go here one by one. So, side one, we have Liz Phair with Material Issue covering the Tra-La-La song, One Banana, Two Banana. Sponge covering Go Speed Racer Go. Mary Lou Lord with Semisonic covering Sugar Sugar, whatever the fuck that is. Matthew Sweet covering Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Juliana Hatfield and Tanya Donnelly covering Josie and the Pussycats. Side 2, we have Collective Soul, The Bugaloos. Butthole Surfers with Underdog. Helmet covering Gigantor? Huh.
Okay.
The Ramones, Spider-Man. Johnny Quest, Stop That Pigeon, covered by, there's a name I haven't heard in a long-ass time. The Reverend Horton Heat. Or Hart. Fuck it. It's Heat. We know it's Heat. We're not going to Berenstain Bears me on this one, motherfucking Psycho Billy freak out bastards. God, I just felt my fingers trying to play that fucking song guitar here. Son of a bitch.
God, this is, yikes.
Anyway, side three, Frente, open up your heart and let the sunshine in. Violent Femmes, Eep, Op, Orc, Arc, Art. What the I don't even know what that is. Dig with the theme from Fat Albert. Face to Face, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Tripping Daisy, Friends, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Then finally, side four, Toadies with Coolie Get Together. Sublime with Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. The Murmurs, HR Puffin Stuff. And last but not least, Wax covering Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy. Take it away, Stinky Whistle Teats.
Okay, well, that kind of says a lot if this is the best thing we could come up with for Record Store Day for this year. Like, guys, what are y'all doing? This kind of sucks.
But wait, Mark wanted to say some things, apparently, before I cut him off to make dumb jokes about cartoons.
Okay. Well, if I won, just one more. One from Zarface. Zarface, you remember Zarface?
Yes.
They have an LP on RSD first with the title The Odds Are Against Us. I'm guessing that's either one of their past albums or EPs. I'm trying to remember, but yeah, I just want to point it out. There's that on there. And it has over, let's see, 2,200 copies.
Seems like a lot of copies.
Yeah, but there you go. That's all I got. I don't give a shit about this list. So.
But that basically is all of the stuff that anyone could theoretically give a shit about. But then again, we all know this is just a placeholder for, like, actual Black Friday shit. So until then, we shall move on to our last bit of business here, and that is the new album releases for October 18th, 2019. Starting at the top, there's the new Refused album, War Music. We got a new project from Uneven Structure called Paragon. There's a new Alter Bridge project, Walk the Sky. There's a new Rob Halford Christmas album called Celestial. Couldn't even wait until November. Anyway, there's part two of the Foles project, Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost. There's a new Jimmy Eat World project, Surviving. There's a new Third Eye Blind project, Screamer.
Yep.
There's the new Jacques Green project, Dawn Chorus. A new Gucci Mane project called Woptober 2. Homeboy Sandman, as previously mentioned, with his new album Dusty. And last, but certainly not least, the newest project from rap trio Clipping with There Existed and Addiction to Blood. So now we must clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or Azure, God, I cannot talk tonight, where I will probably be done with my whole Disney Plus Day One thread by now, or maybe not, I don't know. I'm tired, my voice is tired, I want to go to bed.
Alright, Mark, what about you?
Usually on Twitter, Matt Tavern Media, and on my site, iwantwordpress.com, as I said before, Kasha will be, I got about four more sets of Kasha coming up every Tuesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday and Thursdays, of course, yeah, at least for the next 2 weeks, so yeah, you got that coming.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. New video highlights go up, every weekend or so, you know, when we can get them done. There might be something up later this month. So subscribe, hit the bell tab over on that YouTube channel so you're notified when shit goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com, for written stuff, this podcast, podcast M&A, all of that delicious shit. So, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord if you want to, argue over the merits of a Drill online web series. Spoiler, he deserves it, fuck you. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use this music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you again next week. And until then, Disney had a lot of fucking dog movies, didn't they?
Way too many, if you ask me.
They must love doggos.